Before we get to the interview, I'd like to tell you about a special offer to subscribe to the Business Observer, which covers essential business news on the West Coast of Florida, every day online and every Friday with a print edition. Unlock every Business Observer article on our website, along with our newspaper app, for only $1 a week. Sign up today and stay up to date on all the business news you need to be better at business. Go to businessobserverfl.com/subscribe. Hello and welcome to the Business Observer From the Corner Office podcast. I'm Mark Gordon, Managing Editor of the Business Observer. Today's guest is Susie Bowie, President and CEO of the William G. and Marie Selby Foundation. Susie, thanks for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here and talk to you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. It's going to be a good conversation. So, Susie, you and I have known each other for quite some time. I've been in Sarasota almost 19 years, and I've probably known you almost all that time, both through different jobs you've had and randomly running into you in Honda dealerships and other just random places. So I want to hear a little bit about your career, but we're going to start with the current, the William G. and Marie Selby Foundation. Tell us what you do there and what the foundation is about.
Yeah, thank you. So the William G. and Marie Selby Foundation is a really special place. We were started in 1955 by Bill Selby, and he and his wife, Marie, were incredible people. They lived below their means. They did not have any of their own children, and they really believed in creating opportunity for other people. So they established the foundation, and we have two main things that we get to do. We get to invest in high achieving students. So high school students that are going on to college, they get 4-year renewable scholarships to any college they choose. And we also invest in results focused nonprofit organizations. Both groups are in Sarasota, Manatee, Charlotte, and DeSoto County. So we really have a regional approach to our work. And it's been amazing to have the opportunity to work with both nonprofit leaders and student leaders.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You definitely get to see it. It's dynamic, right? You get to see a lot of organizations doing good things, students doing good things. But you've been in the nonprofit world, foundation-ish world, I think, for quite a while. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your career and how you got started in this.
Yeah, I have. So prior to starting at the Selby Foundation last year, I've been here about a year. I worked in the community foundation space for 17 years. First at the Community Foundation of Sarasota County in a number of different roles, starting out when they had a nonprofit resource center. So I was really focused on nonprofit training and development, communications, that sort of thing. Moved on to roles in marketing and communications, working with donors and other groups, and did a lot of donor education as well. That was at the Community Foundation of Sarasota County. And then I had an opportunity to lead the Manatee Community Foundation for 7 years, which focuses on working with community leaders, donors, and nonprofits in Manatee County. I live in Manatee County, work in Sarasota, so I love the opportunity to really be in both spaces and to see the larger region. Prior to being at Community Foundations, I was at a small nonprofit nature center myself. Nature is one of my personal passions, and got to be a program director there and did everything from leading programs to marketing and communications work. Mark, I even had the job of cleaning the self-composting toilets there, which is what you get to do when you're at a small organization. So I've done the full gamut. Before that, I did about 4 years of urban planning work. So really appreciate this community and all of the gifts that we have from the people who live here that care about community in different capacities.
Yeah, we'll probably get into when we talk about leadership in a few minutes, but you know, that's that thing that leaders have to do, right? Be able to say, hey, I clean the bathroom, so can you, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
But having done this so long, I'm curious too, did you grow up, you know, were your parents or family involved in nonprofits? And did you sort of have this as something that I like, you know, the people giving back, right? It's a phrase you hear so many times, but is that something you wanted to do even as young as, you know, a teenager, a kid, high school?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think like so many people, I kind of fell into the nonprofit and philanthropic space. My mother cared a lot about early childhood education. She was always invested in young children. She was a great mother. My father was actually a partner with Price Waterhouse. He traveled around the country doing consulting work. And I like to think that some of the work that I do is consulting with nonprofits and students. So they're also very caring about the community, but in quiet ways, ironically, very similar to the Selby. They never sought recognition for any of their giving. They give from their heart. So I think those are some things that we have in common.
All right. So you've had this career in nonprofits, and you and I have talked about leadership before as friends one-on-one, and I've heard you speak on panels and about leadership. And something that always strikes me is you're so good at being an empathetic leader. Like you're so good at understanding the people around you and what their needs are and sort of how to be a better leader around them. How did you develop that? Is that something that you mentioned your mom, you know, is that something you learned as a young child? Did you grow into it? I'm curious how you became an empathetic leader.
Thank you for that question. And thanks for noticing that. I think part of what I try to do is a lot of self-reflection. You know, I go home every night and try to think, what could I have done better? And how do I have more empathy for myself? I screw things up like everybody does. And a lot of times I think, gosh, I could have listened better. I could have sought to understand better. And I'll tell you something, Mark, I loved Mr. Rogers when I was a kiddo. And I do think that when you are working with young children, whether it's pre-K or working in the school district, some of that socio-emotional learning is really important to help kids understand how to develop a sense of empathy. I just got finished this week reading for Embracing Our Differences in our school district. And when I walked into the kindergarten classroom, the teacher was doing a lesson on kindness. And I absolutely loved what I heard him doing. And so, yes, some of that's left to our parents, some of it's left to our educators. But I think a lot of empathy is something you can learn. Empathy is definitely a learned trait. And I think it makes you, as a leader, someone that others are more interested in supporting because they know that you're seeking to understand their point of view as well.
Yeah, for sure. And just a quick segue, I do have to do two quick Mr. Rogers stories. I can't not tell these stories because you brought him up. I actually have met him several times. I went to school at the University of Pittsburgh where he recorded a show for many, many years. And I was a junior in 1995, and he had a book out called You Are Special. And I got to interview him, and he autographed the book, and he underlined You Are Special. And for those who can't see, because this is a video, Susie's just, her eyes are just getting bigger than anything in jealousy over this, I think. But it was amazing meeting him. And I met him several other times. And then another quick story, I was volunteering for Junior Achievement in Manatee County at my son's elementary school many years ago. And the students at the end, one of the questions they asked was, who's the most famous person you have interviewed? And I said, Mr. Rogers, and I got a lot of blank stares. It was very distressing that the youngsters did not know who he was. But you can learn a lot about leadership from Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, you really can. And I am. This is one more thing that I have to be jealous of you about, Mark, now that I know that you had these interactions with Mr. Rogers. But I think it's because he was authentic. He was sincere. And there wasn't a whole lot of other fancy stuff going on around him. He just was who he was. And yes. I think that that's a great lesson for all of us to learn. We don't need all of the glitter. We just need to be who we are. And I think that style of authentic leadership is attractive to people because it also relates to vulnerability and all of the other things that go into just being a whole person as you're trying to lead.
Yeah, it's like, who do you want to work with, right? Like, you want to be around those people. Who do you want in your personal relationships? You want to surround yourself, I think, with people that have those values, right?
That's right.
Sounds absolutely pretty common sense. What's a piece of leadership advice, maybe on the same frame, but maybe something different, that you've gotten in your career maybe years ago from different people or maybe more recently, but what's a piece of leadership advice that stands out to you?
Yeah, so many years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in the Whole Fellows program with Philanthropy Southeast. And this is a program that convenes leaders from around Southeast United States that work in philanthropy. And the former CEO of the Community Foundation of Greater Atlanta at the time was named Alicia Phillips. She was there for many, many years. She met with all of us. And I remember she said, meet with anyone. So when people contact you, no matter where you are in your position, no matter who they are, and they want to meet with you, they want to talk with you, make the time for them. And I really try to take that to heart. I think it's really important, not only for me to remain grounded in what the needs of the community are, what businesses are telling us, what students need, but I got here because I worked hard. But because somebody gave me a chance, somebody was willing to meet with me. Somebody was willing to give me the time. Somebody was willing to give me advice and willing to vouch for me. And that's really the truth of all of us. None of us get where we are without other people. And so that advice to me is really important. I try to remember when anyone reaches out, it might be a Zoom, it might be a phone call, I might have time to meet them for coffee, but no matter who they are, taking the time to meet with them is really important. It could be important for them. It could be a connection that I help make for them. Who knows where they will end up in the future in terms of supporting our community, but it could also help me become a better leader. So I think that was really good advice. You're never too busy to meet with someone. If you can't do it today, make an appointment for a month from now and just make the time for people, no matter who they are.
Such good advice. And I think it's so welcoming and sort of warm. It's like comfort food when you tell that to people, and it in a different way when I'm on like media panels and I say, just people, how do I pitch my story to you? Well, just call me. And they're like, really? I can. Yeah, why not? Like, pitching stories and I'm telling stories. So there's got to be some connectivity there.
Absolutely. And it's just remembering again, that chance that someone gave you. You know, we all work hard for what we get to as leaders, but we're also lucky in some ways. We end up in the right place at the right time with the right connection. And it's because someone made the time to take the call, to refer us, to think about what another option for us might be. So thank you for sharing in that. And I know that you take calls, Mark, and the community appreciates that in your reporting.
It's nice to hear. All right. So another thing from leadership is learning from failures. We talked a little bit about that. Is there something in your life, your career that stands out in your mind as, man, I did that, but I learned from it. And now I do it this way.
Yeah. So I think for the failure piece for me, it's every day. One of the things that I continue to fail at is the real going on in my head, right? Constantly overthinking things, wondering, could I have acted more quickly? Could I have had a better sense of humor in a certain situation? Could I have worried less? And so that's still something that I struggle with today. It's a part of, I think, my leadership weakness that I need to improve on. And that is, you know what? You do the best that you can every day based on whatever the circumstances are that day. But I do have a weakness for that. I spend a lot of time thinking about those things and overthinking. So I'm trying to focus more, Mark, on mindfulness and being in the present moment. And that is saying, you know, I'm here right now. Yes, I can learn from the past. I can think about the future, but what's happening in this moment? That's a really important thing for me personally. And the more that I can do that, I find that I make better decisions. I find that I can still self-reflect on what I could have done better, but I spend less time in that space of beating myself up over something, right? So that's something that's a constant, it's constantly playing out for me. And I'm constantly aware of what can I do better? Because focusing so much on what's happening in the mind is also a failure, right?
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. And I think it's important. It's important for me, but it's also important for all leaders in the space. We got to do what we can do today. Then we got to move on. We can course correct and keep improving from there. I find that everything is so iterative, right?
It is. And yeah, the overthinking thing, I've had that. I've struggled with that. And I would say sort of the cousin of that is like imposter syndrome, right? Like, am I doing it the right way? And I keep trying to, similar to what you just said, I keep trying to remind myself, especially with even though we're doing much more digital work, it's with the print edition of the Business Observer, it's heavy decisions, right? Everything's a decision. Does this headline go here or there? Is that picture too big? Is that picture too small? There's just hundreds and hundreds of decisions that you can. I used to spend a lot of time on every decision, and I realized, you know what? There's going to be another paper next week, and this decision has to be made, and you have to move on.
It's so true. And also thinking about what does something matter to to you in your specific industry, but what does it matter to the people that you're reaching? Do they think about the same things with the same level of enormity that you do? And at the end of the day, what really matters? And so focusing on what really matters is an important question to ask ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people that are saying, gosh, what is the best we could be? How far can we push that? Because at some point we're detracting from other great work that we can do aiming for perfection. And perfection is not really all it's cracked up to be. We need to do the best that we can based on whatever that day is and the information that we have and the time that we have. Yeah. As you know, Mark, you have a family. We all have things that go on outside of our professional lives. And how do we balance those two things so that we can stay healthy in the positions that we're in?
So segue a little bit, I think, to goal setting. Like, I've always thought of you as your career has grown and your successes you've had is just a super goal oriented person because you're very accomplished. And, you know, now you're the CEO of this, you know, $200 million ish. You know, the numbers, obviously, but I know it's a pretty big foundation. It's a big job. And how do you go about setting goals? How do you vision board them? Do you whiteboard them? You know, what's your process for setting goals?
Yeah. So with goal setting with foundation work, I think for me, it's a little bit different because it's less about what do I want and more about let's focus on what students need to be successful. Let's focus on what the nonprofits need to be successful. Let's focus on what's happening in community. And so if we start from the perspective of looking at the experiences of those people and then understanding how does our business need to change to better accommodate that, that helps us reach, I think, the right goal. What is the right goal to focus on to be better stewards in the community? And then everything we do has to be results focused. So I think for many businesses and corporations, that result may be the bottom line. It may be the bottom dollar. For us, it's the social impact. So what's the net social impact that we can make with the dollars that we have? And then using that to form goals around it. The goal setting as well, you know, with nonprofits and foundations is such a collaborative experience. It is based on working with our team, first getting the information from the community, and then working with our staff team to form what some goals can really look like. And then really working on the strategic and the generative level with the board of directors to make sure that we are all coalesced around the same goals and we can move forward with those goals as an organization. You know, for me personally, Mark, and my own goals and my own career, it's been really interesting. I think that looking at the Community Foundation of Sarasota County and then at Manatee Community Foundation, I love being at both of those institutions and I love the roles that I had there. And it was really other people who said, did you see this opening? Have you thought about this? We see you in this role. And it took a lot of hearing that from other people before I decided to take a step forward and look at that. So I think that my leadership style is a lot of what is community saying? How do I process that internally? And then how can I help move that forward based on what I think might help the community in the best ways?
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, people saying to you, you'd be perfect for this. Tell me a little about your mentors. Is mentorship important to you and sort of who have been some of your mentors and what have you learned from them?
Mentors are really important, I think, for everyone. And the other kind of side of a mentor is this whole idea of having an executive coach. I think more and more people are realizing the importance of executive coaching. And coaches aren't for people. They can be for people who are unsuccessful, but they're really for people who are successful. How do we become even more successful? So I've been very grateful to have an executive coach, Linda Seiden, in my life for a long time. Met her in Sarasota, moved to Phoenix. We still have a friendship and a great coaching relationship. She helped me as recently as yesterday with something I was working through. And she helps me to reframe questions as a mentor and a coach. And one of them is moving from always asking why to asking what questions. So what could I have done differently is a different question from why did I do that? Or helping me to understand what looks different on a day-to-day basis based on the other things that I'm dealing with, or what's stopping me from going to the next level and then holding me accountable. Also, you know, I think for me, a good mentor, and the reason she's been a great mentor for me is she continues to ask me questions like, how does my personal and professional life balance out so that I'm getting the best result in both spaces, right? And how can I be a more courageous leader? So if I'm struggling with something, she knows how to redirect me to the answer that I really have inside. And I think that's a great message for leaders as well. Having somebody on your side, having somebody that you can talk to about these things you might not be able to talk to your board about, might not be able to talk to your staff about, but someone who can redirect you and say, I think you've got the answer right there. So let me ask you a series of questions that will help you get to the answer that you have. You already have that answer. And then give you some confidence for moving forward with that. So I think that type of mentorship is so important.
Yeah, a trusted confidant. That's really interesting. And as you just said, somebody that you could be there to say this is happening that you maybe can't go to the board with. That's a really good point for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And with any of these mentors, seeing that they're able to do those things themselves is really nice. So and with Linda, for example, who has been a great mentor and a coach for me, I see that she lives by these things herself. And that increases my level of confidence in the mentor. I'm sure that's true for everyone.
Yeah. One last question about the foundation, going back to what you're doing now. What can we look for from William G. and Marie Selby Foundation, you know, say the rest of 2024? What are some exciting things on the horizon for you guys?
Yeah, so we're always really excited about the capital support that we are able to give nonprofits in our region. Our board is going to be taking a look at some of the really strategic questions we can be asking to best maximize our resources. I think when you look at where nonprofits are going now and how we can support them, there's such a myriad of new needs that are out there, new software, new technology. How do we make sure that we are on the cutting edge of solving some of the societal issues in our communities? And so the Selby Foundation is really looking forward to being part of that. In terms of the scholarships that we award, I can't tell you, Mark, how exciting it is to be at this time of year, to be able to read all of these new applications that are coming in from students that have accomplished the most incredible things in their lives, despite circumstances that might have them not succeed. Yeah. So we're really excited about that, but also looking at the graduates. You know, we support students through all 4 years of college. I can't wait to see which ones are going to be returning to our community, working in our local businesses, working in our local medical community, and in our nonprofits to give back themselves. That community give back is a really big part of our Selby Scholar. So we're going to be seeing more of that, and we're going to be able to share more stories with you in the coming months.
Awesome. Maybe there's a future Observer Media Group reporter among these super amazing students.
Would love that. And they would only be learning from the very best with you, Mark.
You're very kind. Thank you. All right. Well, that's very nice of you, Susie. Before we let you go, we have rapid fire questions. I got to tell you, there's been three, but I'm doing a bonus fourth one for you. Okay. So that I've been thinking about how to ask it best. So, okay. But we're going to start with the first three. How many unread emails do you have right now?
It's a lot. Too many.
All right, we got the rest of the day to go over that. Okay, next question. Do you believe in extraterrestrial forms of life?
No.
Well, I don't either. All right, would you rather sail around the world in a sailboat or drive around North America in a van?
That's an impossible question. I guess I'll say drive around in a van.
I knew you were going to say van. Okay. And then the fourth rapid fire bonus question. I know family's important to you. There's a lot of, you've had big days in your life. I've been thinking about the right way to ask this question. Would hanging out with one member of the band U2 be the greatest day of your life?
That's going to have to be a hell yes for 1000 Alec. I'm going to go with that.
All right. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I knew that was going to come up in the interview somewhere, and I'm so glad you asked it. I was just waiting for that question.
Yes, we cannot do for our audience. Susie and I have a music aficionado, and she's a way bigger U2 fan than I am, but we've often talked about U2. And I think you saw them recently. Did you go to Vegas to see them? Do I remember that right?
I did. We went out and we explored the Sphere, and, you know, talk about leadership being bold enough to launch this brand new venue in Las Vegas, full of all kinds of amazing technology. And I think if I remember correctly, it was announced there as a perfect mix of science and art. And it really was. It was incredible. So had that great experience. It was my 13th U2 concert. How about that? So I know I'm way behind a lot of people out there, but I am keeping count, and I am looking forward to the next one whenever. IB mark.
If we're lucky enough to have you on the podcast again, my next question would have to be, what was the best U2 concert? You're gonna have to think that over, right? Or maybe you have that answer. I don't know.
I don't have an answer for that. All of them are the best, and they truly are some of the happiest times I have. So thank you for always making me smile with that question. We all have to have something that's with us. And I think, you know, that music has accompanied me through a lot of different times in my life. And I can remember times when those songs have come up for me and I really needed to hear them. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, Susie Bowie, thank you so much for joining us on the From the Corner Office podcast.
It's been awesome. Thank you for everything you do, Mark. You're amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Business Observer From the Corner Office podcast. I'm your host, Mark Gordon. This podcast was produced by Reed Corley of The Corley Company in Sarasota. To hear other episodes or to learn more about the Business Observer, go to businessobserverfl.com.